Blog Talk Radio.
This is the second show of Western New York High School Sports Weekly, Week 4 edition. We're going to have a recap of all the high school football games from Week 3, and we're going to try to preview Week 4, and we're going to get some other high school sports involved in Western New York, Section 6 of Monsignor Martin. Big news for this week before we start our recap, I would say it would have to be, again, Sweet Home is still winless this season. Class A North, they're with going down to Kenmore West this weekend. That was actually by a big margin. The other night, I believe it was like 56-14. But we're going to get to that. Other big news, the biggest news I would say of the weekend would be Lancaster. The Lancaster Legends, after being decimated by a team from Ohio, and Central Catholic being destroyed by a team in Central Catholic from Ohio, going down to Jamestown and beating the Red Raiders, the defending state champs. What a weekend of high school football. We had NT and Will South going to overtime in a shootout affair. We had the lights go out at Grand Island for 10 minutes. It was a fun week of high school sports. And we're going to get started with our recap here. My name is Francis Beck. Marshall's taking the night off. Well, he's not really taking the night off. He's right now down at the HSBC Arena for the All-American Prospects game. Keeping track of that from the300level.com. Right now, 14 minutes ago, they just ended the first period. Team Rodnick is up 2-1 over Team Plant. You can follow that at from the300level. Marshall's going to be tweeting out from that account on Twitter. And we're going to start with our recap. In the Class A North on Friday night, Lockport beat Clarence 27-25. That'll make things clear in the Class AA North. That may give Kenmore West the clear favorite spot. It was a defensive battle at first, with the score only 8-6 at halftime. Clarence opened the game up in the third quarter, scoring 13 points, leading 19-16. Clarence Stefan Mazzano ran for 2 touchdowns, 60 yards, and 11 yards. But Lockport's Brandon Fuse 24-yard field goal with 13 seconds left on the clock sealed it for the Lions. Next week, Lockport hosts rival Starpoint, who's 3-0, and Clarence heads to Kenmore West. Class AA South action. Hutch Tech beat Frontier 50-13. Frontier scored first, but Hutch Tech continued to prove to be one of the better city schools in Buffalo. The Engineers scored 28 points in the third quarter to demolish the Falcons in a Class AA South matchup. Jason Dowell threw 4 touchdowns, with 2 of them going to Dwayne Robertson for 9 and 5 yards. That brings Hutch Tech to 2-1 this year overall, 1-0 in Class AA South. Frontier is winless, 0-3 overall, 0-2 in Class AA South. Next week, Hutch Tech takes on one of the best teams in Western New York this year, Orchard Park. They head down there, and Frontier is going down to the hot team of the week, hot team of the season, Lancaster. All right, speaking of Lancaster, They obviously won 46-41. They went down to Jamestown, beat the Red Raiders. Lancaster, the defending state champs, Jamestown went down.
Down.
Section 6, a back-and-forth battle at Strider Field ended up going in the favor of the visitor. Lancaster ended up with 638 yards of total offense, thanks to Zach Zamborski rushing for 389 yards and six touchdowns. Unbelievable. Five of them were on the ground, even he caught one. Quarterback Dan Spire threw 13 for 21 and had 222 yards in the air, two touchdowns. It was the other going to LG Castillo. Next week, Lancaster has Frontier coming in, while Jamestown has another home game as they face Bishop Tymon from Monsignor Martin. We go down to Class A North, where we have the Star Point beat Grand Island 38-13. I was at the game Friday. The lights literally went out. They literally went out. The Spartans continue to be a force to be reckoned with in Class A North. After a big win over Sweet Home last Saturday, Star Point continue their win streak with a very solid Grand Island team. Spartans junior 5'4" running back Terry Rutland land for three scores. Anthony Robinson also had a big game, too. Star Point now is 3-0 in Class A North. Grand Island falls to 2-1 in both overall and Class A North. Star Point goes against rival Lockport, as we said, goes up to Lockport. Grand Island travels to Williamsville to take on the Billies of Will South, and sure to be a good game that both teams will be fighting for a playoff spot in just a few weeks, and that game could decide a lot of things. We'll stay in the Class A North on Friday night. The big game, the OT game, led Joe Krause from NT on, our reporter from North Tonawanda on. North Tonawanda beat Williamsville South 49-48 in overtime. The Lumberjacks held on to a game that was quite scary. After being up 21-0 after the first quarter, the Billies never quit as they put up 14 points in the second and third quarters and scoring 13 in the fourth. Cody Sikora, who rushed for a 92-yard touchdown run, and Joe Dotterwick, he scored three touchdowns for the Lumberjacks in a thrilling offensive battle. Will South QB Jack Hoyoke finished the night off with five passing touchdowns, two rushing TDs. Next week, North Tonawanda hosts Williamsville North, the Spartans, while the Billies host Grand Island. Now we'll head down to the Class A South. West Seneca East stays unbeaten, beating Hamburg 21-20, that close battle. They defeated a strong West Seneca East defeated a very strong Hamburg team on their home turf. The Trojans scoring three unanswered touchdown rushes via three different players, John Dolak III, or as our friend Markel Slaughter likes to call him, JD3. Austin Brenderstein had a 17-yard touchdown, and Ray Johnson, we think his name is Ray Johnson, but it could be Ray. We keep seeing that pop up. We're sorry, Ray, if you're out there. 62 yards. The Bulldogs never gave up scoring twice in the fourth quarter. The difference came off of two PATs, one that was blocked and the other was missed. That goes to show you that PATs and two-point conversions do count. They counted in this game. The Trojans will go and face the Max of McKinley, probably at All High Stadium or one of the fabulous city sites. And Hamburg will travel to Iroquois to take on the Chiefs. Staying in the Class A South, West Seneca West gets their first win, 36-0 over Amherst. A huge sigh of relief can be heard from all over the state. The 18-game losing streak that the Indians had is now over. Their shutout marks their first win since the 2013 season. West quarterback Dennis Fraud went 5-for-10 passing and had 150 yards for the air. He also added 3 scores on the ground. Indians running back Ryan Schreck added 121 yards on the ground in the historic win. West Seneca West travels to face South Park in Buffalo, while Amherst will host Lakeshore next week. We'll head down to the Class B East Division. Alden stays undefeated, defeating Parker Reichardt by a score of 56-7. The Bulldogs have been a powerhouse over the last couple of years, and running back Lyle Grant continues to prove that the Bulldogs are a contender in the Class B division. And I believe we have Joe Krause on the line. Joe, we're going to bring you in. Joe, how are you doing today?
Hey, Francis. Special thanks for bringing me on the show tonight. It's great to be with you. Heard about the show, and thanks for having me on.
All right, Joe. We're middle of a recap, but we just went over the NC Williamsville South game. That was obviously a thriller. Excuse me, a little under the weather tonight. Going to overtime. What was that game like?
Well, down 41-27. Well, first of all, to back it up, NC came out 21-0 run in the first quarter. They actually, through the first 9 quarters of the season, they outscored their opponents 92-0. Now at 141-48, heading into Toronto against Will North. But down in the fourth quarter, 41-27, just about over 5 minutes left to play, when Joe Dyerwood scored his first touchdown in the fourth quarter. That truly sparked a moment. And you can go back to the third quarter with Coy Sikora's 92-yard run. That was a moment to me when it was like, okay, NC's still in it. Because when you go into halftime, only up 21-14, and then the Billies came back to score 2 touchdowns in the third, make it 28-27. So NC still kept in it. Their defense finally had a couple of stops late in the fourth, and then they were able to tie it up to 41 in the fourth quarter. Joe Dowich and Coach Sikora, those two really changed the game for North Tonawanda all night long. You know, head coach Henry Cumarelli, he came on the Sports Corner this morning, said that he calls them Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside because they're giving defenses headaches. So those two really changed it. And when Joe Dowich went in for that two-point conversion at the end, Francis, in the overtime 49-48 victory, the place went bananas. And honestly, tomorrow night, it could be even crazier against Will North.
All right, so we're going to put you on hold here for a second. We're going to bring in our special interview for today. We have Ken Moore, West quarterback, and my old friend from across the tracks, D'Angelo Walker-Johnson, having a great season with Ken Moore West. D'Angelo, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm out here in Clarence at the JV football game watching the young kids play.
All right, that's good, D'Angelo. D'Angelo, you guys, after your loss to Orchard Park, you have come back for 2 big wins against Lockport and Sweet Home. What did you guys change in that week after that Orchard Park loss? What did you guys do immediately on Monday morning of that week, heading right after Orchard Park?
That Orchard Park loss was a big like eye opener for us. We thought we were on top of the world, and it brought us back down to reality. And we realized we had to come ready to work every day. And ever since then, every day of practice, we have a big emphasis on getting the most out of the practice and bettering yourself every day. And that's what we've done so far these past 2 weeks.
Okay, D'Angelo, I have your stats right here. You've run for 227 yards, thrown for 352. Besides that, you've also been really good at protecting the ball, only 2 interceptions this season. Is that the lack of turnovers, is that something you focused on this offseason?
Yes, yeah. I went back and looked at some of the plays that I could have done instead of avoided turnovers. I really saw how they affected the game. And that's a big emphasis for me, to cut down on turnovers. Because when you turn the ball over, you just hurt your team, kill all your momentum, get the momentum to the other team. And we want to stay on top.
Okay. You're one of the few quarterbacks in Western High School Sports, Western York High School Sports, that that you will play both sides of the ball, unlike most who are worried about getting their quarterbacks hurt. What is the decision process for your coaches? Why do you think your coaches have you play defense also?
My coaches, they always tell you they're going to put the best 11 athletes out on the field, and I think I'm definitely one of the best 11. And I play a position where it's not really like, I don't have to come up, and I don't have to deal with that much physical contact. So I'm not taking on lead blockers every play. Like, so it's like, it's not that. I play a more safe position.
Okay. I do have to ask you, looking at the stats sheet, it looks like your offense has gone through a change where you had Terrell Ford, obviously the big running, your great running back over there. We've got some Division I offers. This year it looks like his stats have gone down a little bit. Yours has gone up. Is that by design, or is that just how things have played out?
That's how things have played out. Well, he's such a great player that teams have to put a week of their off of their preparation for him. They can't lie. So when they put a big emphasis on him, I'm sure, and everywhere he goes, he has two or three people on him. So it's very hard for him. But last week was a breakout game for him, and I expect nothing else but that for the rest of the season for him.
Okay, all right. Next up, you have Clarence here, who is now 1-2 on the season. They lost to Lockport. They're the newcomers into Class AA North. What do you you have some familiarity with them? What are you expecting from them this week?
I'm expecting that double tight, double wing offense, a lot of running, a very physical game because they're a very physical team, and we can't sleep on them. Yeah. They come ready to play, and if you're not on your P's and Q's at all times, you will get caught slipping.
Okay. It looks like right now you guys in the Class AA North, it looks like you started to, with Niagara, you're a little bit scared in the first week. You know, was it going to become more West Division as we found the preseason? Now with the Clarence loss, it seems to be you and Niagara Falls. Do you think that Niagara Falls, what do you think of that Niagara Falls team that has that almost beat Jamestown in the first week?
That Niagara Falls team is a very good team. I'm very excited for that game. But right now, all my focus is on Clarence and getting this W on Saturday. So if you got to take it one game at a time, you can't look past an opponent because that's when you end up losing.
Okay. D'Angelo, any final thoughts that you'd like to share with the fans about Kenmore West football this season and this upcoming game?
These next games, the rest of the season will be exciting to see what happens. We got big things planned, and we hope we can meet our goals.
All right, and you're at the JV game. Quick update, how are they doing over there?
Right now they are down 34-8, I believe, right now. Second half is about to start, is about to kick off.
And then there's the Kenmore West Clarence JV game. Thanks, D'Angelo, for coming on tonight, and we will try to get someone to your game and maybe even talk to you after the game.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. We're going to bring Joe Krause, and now we have Pat Beltry on the show. Do we got both of you still on?
Yep, I'm still here, Francis.
Yep, I'm here, Francis.
You on? All right. Now
yes,
we
sir.
Have three heads. All right. Pat, why don't you give us a quick report on St. Joe's and how was their weekend?
The St. Joe's football team lost 27-7 versus Aquinas. Basically, during that game, they were out-physical by a massive offensive and defensive line from Aquinas. Basically, offense did not move the ball at all in the first half. Tried to climb back during the second half, but was just unable. Joe's defense had a solid day, but once again, they were just out-physical by a huge offensive and defensive line.
Okay. Who do they have? I haven't been able to see who they have coming up. Who do they have coming up this week, in week four?
They have St. Mary's this Saturday.
Okay, St. Mary's, they're coming off two losses to Canisius and Timon. We're going to get into them soon. I don't know if, Pat, you're able to get our recap from excuse me, a little under the weather tonight again. Sorry about that. From the 300 level, but we're gonna restart with Class B East. We're gonna pick up with Cheektowaga and Newfane. Cheektowaga 163-6. Eric Barknick has been doing a phenomenal job taking over for the great quarterback Zach Chizik. And the blowout win for the Warriors, Barknick threw for 232 yards and 3 touchdowns, as well as running in a score on his own for 29 yards out. Tyron Lawson ran the ball 5 times for 131 yards and 2 touchdowns, while also adding 3 receptions and 46 yards and another score. The Warriors will go to Tonawanda to face Ethan Shattuck in the Tonawanda. Ethan, if you listened last week, we had him on. And Newfane will travel to Wilson. Pat, can you take the next game, or you're not able to get to a computer right now?
Unfortunately, I'm unable to get to a computer at this moment.
All right. Joe, can you get to a computer at this moment?
Not really.
Okay, all right. Better go through a few more games here, and then we're going to get to the next part of our show. Next part of our show, our top 10 rankings versus the news. All right, next we have in the Class C North, we have Cleveland Hill, now 3-0 with their 38-14 win over Akron. Cleveland Hill is one of the better teams in Class C North, behind Bennett, obviously. Akron began the scoring with a 95-yard kickoff return by Zachary Bell. But then the Golden Eagles took the game into their own hands and put it into cruise control. Defense played a huge role as Matt Aldridge added 12 tackles and Amari Wooden had 11. DeJorn Bozeman had a 69-yard touchdown pass from Khalil Springs, and Jason James returned a block punt for a 33-yard touchdown. Next game, Cleveland Hill will play Lackawanna for first place in the Class C North, and Akron will travel to Silver Creek Forester. We're going to finish up the Class C North here. Silver Creek Forester, 1-2 now, picks up their first win with a 32-0 shutout over our friend, our fellow blogger, JFK's alum, Marshall Pam's team. The Black Knights offense was, of course, the driving force towards the shutout of JFK, as the Bears offense was non-existent. Bill Saters ran for 21 times for 159 yards and 1 touchdown. Noah Raddick threw the ball quite effectively, throwing 7 completions and 13 attempts for 91 yards and 2 scores, both to Trayvon Thompson. Next week, Silver Creek Forester hosts Akron, while JFK takes on Class C favorite Bennett. Joe, we're going to get to you here. You just talked about NC football. How is the other sports at NC going? Anybody that's doing well over there in the lumberyard?
Well, Francis, you know, a lot of players graduated back in June, and a lot of people weren't really sure how things were going to go in North Tonawanda, most notably on the girls' volleyball squad. The big three, Gabby Hansen, Elena Metzger, and Kayla Higgins, they all graduated. But now, we'll start with girls' volleyball. Now that they've figured it out, they're starting to figure out how to win the season. 2-2 in the Niagara Frontier League. Caught off a big win the other night against Louisport. They swept them at home. It was only about 70 minutes. That's how long the game was. But head coach Jesse Anderson saying that, you know, they're still trying to figure things out. Is, you know, there's still plenty of time left in the season already in your 13th season with the program. Two big players that have returned for another great season, Julian Milbrand and Liz Wolt. They won back-to-back NFL titles so far. They still have a shot to win their third straight if they can get past Ken Watson. And Les Privatera has been the X factor representing the class of 2016. The guys, they have started out amazingly this season. Nobody expected them to be this good with the losses of Donovan Book and Sam Mikulski and about 8 or 9 other seniors. A very senior-heavy team last year.
They won last night over Star Point. Big non-league win at home at the Lumberyard, 3-1. Kyle Rambler had a career-high 27 digs. And Victor Willison had 10 kills in his fourth year on varsity. Head coach Luke Hodson says that Victor's been consistent over the years. And Hodson, Coach Hodson said that he's expecting another NFL title run from the team. He expects every year for the team to win, and he's now in his 17th year with the program. He's looking for his third as a coach and his first since first NFL title since 2007. Girls soccer is going to be Steve Sable's final season on the sidelines, and the girls soccer team has continued to win like they've done since he took over in 1998. It's also going to be Allie Smythe's final season in net. She's been on the team for the past 5 years, and he joked in their preseason interview, Francis, that he started his career with the Smythe and he ended it with the Smythe, so, which is very special. Gina Malone, she hasn't scored a couple of games, but earlier this week she came in with a 3-game streak with a goal. So keep an eye on her. And, you know, the girls' soccer team, they just somehow they continue to keep out the wins every year. And one last note, cross-country, they are finally kicking off their season Saturday morning in Akron. The Core 4, Chris Math, Kyle Kaminsky, Matt Slominski, and Nick Krause are expected to lead the way. And the guys, William Math and Emily O'Brien, are expected to lead the way for the ladies. So, in conclusion, Francis, I know it's a lot for you guys, but the Lumberyard is doing very well, and tomorrow night for the football game against Florida North, it's going to be a huge crowd.
All right. One final question about NT football. Zach Woodard, obviously the brother of Chris Woodard. Personally, I know you're up close with that program. How has Zach handled the pressure, I guess? I mean, obviously there must be some pressure being the younger brother of Chris Woodard, who had a fantastic season going to the All-Star game in the summer. Has Zach handled that pressure well, or did he need these games to get adjusted and finally feel like it's Zach Woodard? Chris is gone. He's now taking hold, and there's no reason to compare.
Well, Francis, I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I don't think that Zach is feeling any pressure. This has been his team since, since the final buzzer of the 2014 season. The entire offense, actually, Francis, we have to give credit to the other guys because that's what's made Zach successful, if we want to look at it that way, especially in the running game. Coach Sakura and Joe Dowerich in the backfield, like I mentioned before, Mr. Outside and Mr. Inside, they combined already for 10 touchdowns in the backfield. So, Zach, he's making his voice heard on the defensive end. 16 tackles, 4 deflected passes. He's leading the secondary in tackles. He's actually leading the defense in tackles. Sorry, but, you know, just Zach, he has lived up to the moment. He's embraced this moment as a leader since he stepped out on the varsity field on the beginning of his sophomore year. And I expect him to finish out the season strongly and could be an All-Western New York candidate on the defensive side.
Wow. Wow. It's a great season from him. I think, Joe, unless you have anything else from the Lumberyard, I think we're going to let you go.
Just one last note. Keep an eye tomorrow night. The Jacks are 3-0, their best start since the 2009 state title run. Keep an eye on linebacker Marshall Lesme. He moved back to NT from Connecticut. He spent a couple of years playing varsity football in Connecticut, and he's already tied with Zach Gordon for tackles with 16. So expect Marshall Lesme to try to put pressure on Jose Padilla, who had an outstanding game last weekend for the Spartans, 209 yards passing. So if the defense can continue to put the pressure on the Spartans, they already have 10 turnovers on the season, I think it's going to be another NT win.
I think it's going to be another NT win. Does that mean that NT has a legitimate shot at number one in the division? Do you think it's theirs?
I think so. Whatever happens, happens. Going into March, there were plenty of question marks on the offensive end. You mentioned about Chris Ward. He graduated. Taylor Mallott also graduated. And Alex Mollis also graduated as well. And a bunch of seniors. And even guys like Ryan McDonough and Drew Krantz in the secondary. There were plenty of questions going in. But when Henry Fumarelli took over in March, first thing he wanted to do was put the guys in the weight room. He got hired on March 7th. By the next week, there were about 40 to 45 guys already in the weight room. And if you haven't been to the first three games of the NC season, you're going to see tomorrow night how the weight room pays off.
And I know that some teams, you know, I don't know, like, about their weight room, but these guys have been in there all the time since March, and it's shown. And that's why they're at the top of the Class A North right now. And my top four, if going on to the sectionals, it's NC, Low North, Star Point, and then the winner of Grand Island and Wolf South. I think Wolf South is going to win this one, but I'm not going to shut the door on Grand Island just yet. So the Class A North, like all the other divisions, it's going to be down to the wire the last week.
All right. Thanks, Joe, for coming out. Oh, one more thing. Keep reading this one. Is the triple option officially gone in NC with the new coach?
I wouldn't say that. I'll just say that they're a ground-and-pound team. So if you're still missing the Eric Jancy days, expect for NC to do something special again this season.
All right. Joe Krause, thanks for coming on. That's Joe Krause, the professor from NC. You can follow him on Twitter at the Pontiff, the T-H-E-P-O-F-N-T, the Professor N-T. And you can find his website, logsfromthelumberyard.wordpress.com, keeping track of all North Tonawanda. We appreciate having him on. Pat, it looks like you're still on.
Yes, I am.
All right, Pat. It looks, if I'm correct, you cannot get to a computer right now, so we're going to finish up our recap here. Is that still true?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. We're going to go to Class C South, Allegheny Limestone, winning 56-0 over Casadega Valley Falconer. Zach Bierfeld was responsible for 18 of the Allegheny Limestone 15 points in their crushing of Casadena Valley Falconer, with the score only being 6-0 after the first quarter. The Gators put on 25 points in the second half to hold a 31-0 lead at halftime. Fellow teammate Jordan Kays ran the ball 7 times for 126 yards. Allegheny Limestone travels to Gowanda Pine Valley, while Casadena Valley Falconer hosts Maple Grove, Chautauqua Lake. It's a lot of schools. Class C South, we're staying there. Maple Grove goes to 2-1 overall, 2-0 in the division, winning 48-8 over Salamanca, who remains winless. Maple Grove, Chautauqua Lake is considered one of the powerhouses down in the southern tier, and they proved to be that under the lights on Friday. The score being tied at 0-0 at the end of the first quarter, the offense for Maple Grove, Chautauqua Lake found its first, scoring 40 of their 48 points in the second quarter. Salamanca added their 8 points in the final stanza. The next game, Maple Grove will travel, as you just said, to Casadega Valley Falconer, while Salamanca will host Southwestern. We'll head down to Class D. Fortville goes to 1-2 overall and in the league as they beat Franklinville, Ellicottville, West Valley, and a little bit of an upset there, 28-20. The Fortville Panthers went into the game versus Franklinville, Ellicottville, West Valley as the underdog, but they prevailed as they outscored the home team 15-6 in the second half. Fortville's X Harris ran for 2 touchdowns, while Donovan Graydon and Grant Mine each added 3 scores of their own. Franklinville, Ellicottville running back Caleb Rinko scored twice in the loss. Next game, Fortville heads to Randolph, while Franklinville, Ellicottville, West Valley will be the visitor against Westfield Brockton. Non-league action on Friday night. We have one game. Springville, the upstart team in Class B, is now 3-0 overall, 2-0 in the league, beating Southwestern 53-20. The Griffins are off to another hot start as they cruise to a victory over Southwestern in this non-league battle. Springville's Ian Baker rushed for 6 touchdowns in the win. Southwestern's Ben Burke threw for 2 touchdowns, and Joe Hayes caught 2 touchdowns for the Trojans. Springville is having a bye because they were scheduled to face Eden, which, as many of you know, had to cancel their season, and they believe were joined to another team, which is now going, I'm not remembering. and Southwestern will travel to Salamanca. Pat, we're going to go to you before we go to our Saturday games. Pat, what did you take away from Friday night?
I apologize. I lost a connection there for a moment. Can you restate your question?
Oh, sure. I guess we'll talk about the big news. I don't know what stood out to you. I guess Jamestown, I guess the hammer finally coming down on them. Them losing to Lancaster after the close call against Niagara Falls, and then the close game against Williamsville North. They finally go down to Lancaster. What do you think that means for Jamestown and the rest of Western New York?
I think it was honestly a matter of time before Jamestown would go down. It was, for me, looking at some of the scores in the beginning of the year, I've always pictured Jamestown as a powerhouse in this area. So I believe it was just a matter of time if they're keeping games so close like they were with Niagara Falls until they would go down.
Well, yeah, and don't forget that fans out there that are worried. They did lose a bunch of guys. They lost Joe Muscarella from Blanco, and there was another skilled guy that they lost. Three big seniors that graduated from that state championship team. They do keep quarterback Nick Holland, who keeps them in games, but it was inevitable that this was going to happen. Right now, as you'll see in the top 10 that's coming up in a few minutes, they will drop, but overall, they're still a good team. They face a good team from Monsignor Martin, Timon St. Bishop Timon, who's undefeated. We'll talk about them. It's going to be a tough task for them. I think they're looking at October 2nd is for their easy UN, but they have another tough game this week. Hopefully they can get themselves up for time, and that'll tell a lot. We're going to go to our Saturday games. Speaking of time in St. Jude, they beat St. Mary's 44-27. 27. Saturday afternoon, Bishop Timon and St. Mary's of Lancaster had a big night of scoring, as a big day of scoring, continuing Friday night big scoring. Tigers got 44 points into beating St. Mary's. The Monsignor Martin matchup, Matt Meyer set the tone for the Tigers with 92 yards rushing and added a third touchdown on the ground. He also finished with 10 for 19 through the air, 216 yards and another touchdown. Akeem Humphrey at 119 yards, two touchdowns for Timon. Blake Bolson hooked up with Cameron Dunning for a pair of touchdowns for the Lancers, including a 46-yard pass play. One of their players that wasn't mentioned, I don't see on the stat sheet, is who I believe is still there, is Tyler Ringwood, who I have heard various reports that he is getting Division I offers. So keep an eye out for him this season. We'll go to the Class A North next on Saturday. This was a bit of a shocker, some shockwaves, at least to me. Williamsville North beat Niagara Wakefield by a score of 34-13. The Falcons put 13 points up on Williamsville North. And talking to our friend Nick Sabato from Lockport Courier, I believe Lockport Star, Lockport Courier, forget that at the moment. Niagara Wakefield was in that for the whole first half. They were tied 7 at halftime. And they have a game coming up next week against my team, the Chemours Bulldogs, 2-0-3 teams. But right now, Niagara Wakefield standing up to Will North like that, they don't look as easy as they have been in the past. Jose Padilla for the Spartans was 14 of 22 with 209 yards. The quarterback threw for a score and ran for another touchdown. Jarius Huggins had 4 catches for 80 yards. 44 of them came on a single touchdown catch. The game I was at, Williamsville East beat Kenmore East 42-6. the Bulldogs picked up their first touchdown of the season. Dwight Davis had a big, I believe it was a 40-yard run. He got the Bulldogs down to the 5, and then they handed it off to Antonio Scola, who ran it in for the touchdown, the first one of the year. Leading the show for Williamsville East for the Flames, Pat Orsini and Ryan Foster. Pat Orsini had 4 catches for 158 yards and a score. Foster went 5 for 9, completed one other pass. He went 5 for 9 with 2 touchdowns. Cameron Davis ran for 28 yards and a score after recovering a fumble. All right, non-league action. We had 2 big ones. We're going to start with the one in West Seneca with South Park, the city school, heading up to face Almighty Canisius. And I don't know, you might be shocked by this one. South Park lost 23-20. They were within a field goal, and a field goal, I believe, by Hubel, a 61-yard field goal. It's a big story. Put them over South Park. Pat, you're familiar with Monsignor Martin. Does this shock you that Canisius kept it so close? They literally won by a 61-yard field goal to win it.
I'm shocked in a sense that Canisius has been so dominant these last few years. But also, I was expecting a very close game out of this. Several players come up to me during the week and said, Pat, what do you think about this South Park Canisius game? And I said, South Park is going to keep this game close. They're a very tough team. And, hey, they put up a great fight against one of the best teams in the state, if not the best team in the state.
Yeah, I mean, I saw South Park play last week. They went to Amherst. That game was over at halftime. It was 41. It was like, I think, 40-7 at halftime. And they were committing some dumb penalties. South Park was. They could have had more if they were a little more disciplined. I hope that South Park, it looks like they must have been really disciplined, and that's how they were able to keep it so close against Canisius. It's a little disappointing. Me, I root for city schools. I would have been very happy if a city school was able to come in and beat Canisius. But they put up a very good fight. 14 points in the fourth quarter, and it was the kid from Amherst, the kicker who's going to Ohio State, Blake Hubel, the 61-yard field goal. That's what does it with Canisius. It had to be the kicker that would win it for him.
And Francis, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe South Park was driving downfield at the end of that game, and the center snap went over the quarterback's head, which was recovered by Canisius, is what I read. So correct me if I'm wrong there, but it was a very close game.
I didn't see that, but wow, if that was the case, then wow, one fumble, it's a completely different game. It could have been a completely different outcome, and we're looking at South Park. They could have, we'll see my top 10 in a few minutes, but that could have been a very different game, that could completely shaken up Western New York if they were able to not fumble and they were able to get a score there. O'Hara, another Monsignor Martin team, defeated Leadership Academy of Section 5, 34-6. The Hawks piled up 503 yards on offense, including 446-yard rushing. Wow! And earning a win over an opponent from Rochester. Clifford Ziegler scored 3 touchdowns on his first 3 carries as he ran for 192 yards on 10 carries. Will Willis ran the ball 7 times for 147 yards and 2 scores. He also had an interception and a 45-yard return. Pat, do you know anything about this? I know you know a little bit of O'Hara. Do you know anything about this Leadership Academy? Is that a team that Joe's has faced in recent years?
Since I've been at Joe's, they have not faced that school, so I'm not comfortable commenting on them as I'm not familiar with that school.
Okay. I could be wrong, but I'm looking at the St. Joe's schedule, and I'm not seeing O'Hara on here. That to me, that's unusual, them being in the same league. that they wouldn't be playing. Is there a reason, do you know, that why the St. Joe's, your St. Joe's and O'Hara aren't playing this year?
Since I've been at Joe's, they haven't actually played O'Hara. I don't know if there's just been scheduling conflicts, but I would say the last 2 or 3 years they haven't. I know, I had to say 4 or 5 years ago, I think they played them. But since my time at Joe's, they have not played O'Hara.
Okay. All right, next up is the other big city game, city suburbs game. Bennett traveled to Orchard Park for their homecoming game, for Orchard Park's homecoming game. They played on rare Saturday afternoon over in Orchard Park, winning 27-16 of their homecoming. Janka had 2 touchdowns for the day, 2 touchdown passes. Orchard Park had this wrapped up seemingly. They took over from the beginning. They had a 20-0 lead at their quarter. Bennett tried to come back, scoring all of their points in the fourth quarter. But Orchard Park was able to hold on for a 27-16 lead. We talked about St. Joe's. The game we talked about, we had earlier on the info, Walker Johnson, the quarterback for Kenmore West. Sweet Home is now 0-3. I need to repeat that. Everybody gets it. The Sweet Home Panthers, who just won the Class A North title last year. They were Class A North for Section 6. They're 0-3. They lost to Kenmore West 55-7. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm in pure shock at this point.
I definitely agree. Like I've stated before, Sweet Home is another powerhouse that's been around for years. And I watched them, and I'm surprised by this, too. But at the same time, every team has a down year. It happens. This might be that year, but we also all have to realize that there's a long season left ahead of us.
All right. Going over this game, Mark Taylor started the game. He's a senior there, for a co-worker of mine. He ran the opening kickoff for 95 yards for a touchdown. D'Angelo Walker Johnson, the quarterback who we just had on, ran for 2 touchdowns and threw for 158 yards. And on defense, he also had an interception, a pick six. Terrell Ford, the big running back, a utility man for Kenmore West, looking at D1 offers. He had 2 interceptions, and he ran one back for a score. Our final game of from Western New York High School Sports from Week 3 was the Independent School Nichols losing 49-6 over Trinity College. Nichols' only score was a 60-yard pass from Lowe to Means. Nichols is having a down year. I'm not sure if you guys aren't on the schedule with Joe's. Do you know from past years, do you know much about Nichols' football program?
I do not in terms of football. Typically, Joe's and Nichols do not typically face each other in football or hockey or really major sports like that. I'd say they really only face each other for soccer, basketball, and lacrosse are the main big ones, and maybe wrestling. But in terms of football, they don't face each other.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to go to our top 10. This week, our top 10 rankings. I did a large school. Marshall, who was at the American Prospects game, he did a small school one. So we're going to do that for you. All right. Number one for me. On our board, for the large school board, is obviously 3-0, the Canisius Crusaders, off their win, as we just said, over South Park, 23-20 win. They do not have as big a lead in this category for me. Obviously, with the close win there, they're not as high as they used to be, but they're still the number one. Number two, I have Orchard Day at the number two slot with their 3-0. Being 3-0 in their victory over Bennett. They still seem to be the best public school team in Western New York. Number three, moving up all the way from six from my poll last week, is Lancaster. With their win over Jamestown, they're upset. They are in the number three spot. Number four, I moved down Jamestown a slot with Lancaster moving up. They had a loss this week. They faced Welsh Jesuit, team that was one of the best teams in Ohio. I know Canisius has some history with them. His shows has some history with Welsh Jesuit.
In past years, maybe, I want to say past maybe 6-7 years ago, but not in recent time. Typically, Joe stays within either New York City or they go to teams in Erie, PA. So this year, they'll be going to teams such as Future Prep, and the other school escapes me right now, but mainly they stay within Erie.
Okay. Well, St. Francis lost to Welsh Jesuit, who faced Canisius last year. That was their big game that really got Canisius rolling. It was a pretty close loss. It was a pretty close game for most of it until Welsh Jesuit pulled away. Number five is Jamestown finally going down. They fall to 2-1 from losing to Lancaster. Number six, I have South Park moving up a spot with that close game to Canisius. Tyree Brown's doing a great job down there. And the Sparks offense is just amazing. I saw them last week. They moved there at number six. Number seven is West Seneca East and our friend Markel Slaughter's favorite, JDR, John Dolak III. They're 3-0. They move up from the nine slot for me to seven. Number eight, I have Bishop Tymon, 3-0. They're having a good season, undefeated season. They just beat St. Mary's of Lancaster. Tymon's coming up in a few weeks for Joe. Do you think the Marauders are worried about Bishop Tymon coming in and beating them at?
I believe Joe takes every opponent seriously, especially in this league that they play in. They were upset by them last year. They played each other back to back, first round of the Monsignor Martin playoffs. Bishop Tymon upset St. Joe's at the Ralph by a touchdown, I believe. So I think Joe's is going to have a lot of motivation to try and win this game when they play it. And it should be a good one. And I would say Tymon has a great team this year. It should be a good challenge for Joe's and the rest of the teams that play them.
All right. Number nine, I have a newcomer to my poll, Kenmore West. Obviously, we had D'Angelo Walker Johnson on, their quarterback, on earlier. I didn't have them ranked because of their loss to Orchard Park. I was a little concerned. But now seeing Orchard Park having this great season and Kenmore West, two wins against Lockport and now Sweet Home with that blowout. I know they're 0-3, but that's still an impressive win for me. I put Kenmore West number nine, and they are the top, and I believe they are the top team. And right now, unless Niagara Falls really makes a move here, a big win over Riverside, they have Riverside, I think it's Kenmore West team until they meet on October 3rd at Kenmore West. That could be for the division crown over there. And at number 10, I have from the Class A North, I moved them down the biggest drop from number 5, Williamsville North, who went down, who won this week against Niagara Wheatfield. That was a close game. That was way too close for comfort for me against a team like Niagara Wheatfield. And the loss to Jamestown, I had to move them down to 10. Spartans might not like that, but that's the truth. They have a big game this week against NT for the Class A North Big Trouble. We just talked to Joe Krause. That's going to be one of the big games of the week. Moving to small schools, from Marshall Hamm, he did his. Number one is Bennett. They lost to Orchard Park, as we said, but they're in Class D, and they still remain 2-1 with their team led by Isaiah McDuffie. Number two is Zach Chesick's he's gone. Chief DeWaga is now 3-0. Marshall moved them up from the number three, switched them up to three. up to 2 from the 3 spot. Springville drops to 3 from the 2 spot, but they're still 3-0, led by Bryce Sajak. Number 4, Alden, moves up from the 6th spot. They're 3-0 in the season in Class B. Cleveland Hill is 3-0, and they move up from the 7th spot. East Aurora Holland moves down from 4. They are in Class B with their loss. They are now 2-1 in the season. Burgard is 2-1. They finally make it into Marshall's rankings in the number 7 spot. Maple Grove Chautauqua Lake moves up to 8. They are now 2-1 in the season. Depew in Class B is 2-1. They make it onto the top 10 at number 9 for Marshall. They weren't ranked last week. And finishing out the top 10 is Lackawanna, 3-0, and last week they were at the 10th slot, too. Pat, we have a few minutes left in the show. What games are you looking forward to this weekend? Any sport?
This weekend I will be covering the Joe's St. Mary's game. I think it should be a good matchup. It'll be a revenge game, as people say, for St. Joe's. Last year they were upset extremely by St. Mary's, and I think they'll be looking for revenge this weekend, and it should be a good matchup.
All right. Saturday I will be heading, it's homecoming for Ken Maurice. I will be at the Ken Maurice Niagara Regional Bash, and fortunately, I was lucky enough to get a date. I know I was surprised too, to homecoming, so I'll be going to homecoming dance. But unfortunately, I won't be able to make it to a game. I'm sorry for you all out there. I won't be able to go to a game Friday night, so I'll be skipping out on that. But Saturday will be at Tim Maurice Niagara Wheatfield. Some of these big games this week, we have Burger traveling to Blueport. Class B Central matchup is Tonawanda and Cheektowaga. Ethan Shattuck and Tonawanda heads to the Battle of the Warriors, heads to Cheektowaga. The Class AA South, Lancaster, off their big win last week against Orchard Park. They'll be heading home to face Frontier. The big one, as we talked about earlier in Class A North, for the number one spot, early lead number one, be North Tonawanda and Williamsville North. Grand Island and Will South will also be facing off. We'll try to get our blogger Evan Manna out there to Williamsville South to see the Vikings and the Billings go at it, possibly for a final playoff spot there. Let's see, who else do we have? Class A South, Hamburg and Iroquois are going at it, 7 o'clock on Friday. On the Nog League games, we'll have our friend Marshall, who's at the. We'll have JFK and Bennett. We'll have the big school with Isaiah McDuffie. Marshall Hamm will be there covering JFK and Bennett over there on Saturday. We have St. Joe's, St. Mary's, we mentioned Sweet Home and Williamsville East. We'll have our friend Melissa Brody there, who was on the show last week. She will be out there covering that game. All right. Canisius will face a team from New Jersey in DePaul Catholic. South Park will host West Seneca West. St. Francis will travel to Aquinas. Clarence, as we said earlier, will take on D'Angelo Walker Johnson and Kenmore West. The big rival, Star Point Lockport, will be in Lockport. That could be a big game. Can the Spartans keep an undefeated record, and can they compete for the Class A North crown? We have Riverside and Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls could challenge right now. It looks like they're the team that could challenge Kenmore West for the top spot in Class AA North. And it looks like our final game in Class A South, Orchard Park, Hushtack. We like for our show. Thank you for coming on. We have Pat Beltry here. Thanks for coming. Joe Krause. You still there?
Yes.
The show ended. I did my best there. I know I kind of put you on the spot in some spots there.
Oh, no, no problem.
All right. Oh, let's see. So you're not going to a game tomorrow night, I'm guessing?
No, I have prayer commitments.
Okay. All right. I think we're all set here, so you can hang up at any point now. All right. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.